Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the privilege and joy of being here together as part of this community of faith. As we share together today in your word, teach us the things you want us to know and show us the things you want us to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Mark is a very interesting gospel, and we've spent a few weeks in it, and we'll spend a few more this coming up. But one of the things it begins with in Mark chapter 1, one of the first things out of Jesus' mouth, according to Mark, is the phrase, "The kingdom of God is at hand." The kingdom of God is upon us. The kingdom of God is near. So for Mark, the idea behind the gospel, the unifying principle of how Mark is going to tell the story that is inspired by the Holy Spirit is to use the idea of the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not going to look for a show of hands, but if I was to ask you, what is the kingdom of God? Many of you would say heaven. Many of you would say, I have no earthly idea. For centuries, theologians, scholars, and normal everyday Christians like you and me have been trying to figure out what Jesus meant by this short little phrase, kingdom of God. Because even when Jesus talked about it, he didn't give us a nice systematic definition of what the kingdom of God was. Instead, he told us parables and he used similes and metaphors to approximate what it is. Because it's a concept that's very difficult to understand. Samuel Taylor Coleridge once said, "If you make any truth too definite, you make it too small." When we try to encapsulate something into a 10-word answer or a bumper sticker, or we try to put things into a nice box so that we can categorize it and move on, we're making it too small. And that's what Jesus wasn't going to let anyone do with the kingdom of God. He's not going to let anyone make it too small. Although I would say that we've probably spent the better part of 2,000 years trying to do that with it. We're trying to shape it and own it and understand it and be able to say we know what it is. And that's probably the other unifying principle of the Gospel of Mark, is when he's telling this story, he's telling it in order to make those who think they know it all, he's telling it so that those who think they have God figured out and put in a box, that there's more of a mystery out there. That it's bigger than the box, it's bigger than the system you've designed. And according to Mark, it's hubris or overconfidence to say, I know what it is. I understand God completely. There's nothing about the kingdom of God that I don't get. You know, we talk about big concepts sometimes. Take love, for instance. Love is something that we bandy about. There are dictionary definitions of love. There are cartoons with little cherubs, and there's little things about love. There's the love boat. There's all kinds of things about love. It's a huge concept. It's hard to understand. But we've had scientists who study what happens in your brain chemistry when people are in love. We've had poets write poems about how do I love thee, let me count the ways. Love is a very difficult concept, yet it's something that's very familiar, right? I mean, we all encounter it, but I would dare say any of us would venture a guess at defining it completely. You might be able to say what it means to you, but think about in our culture what the number one metaphor about love is. Falling. You fall in love. It's like you tripped over something invisible and fell into this wonderful emotion. You didn't make a decision to, I'm going to be in love today. You didn't do that, but you fell into it. It happened. It grabbed you, and you don't understand it, but it grabbed hold of you. In this first parable that Jesus gave us today, the kingdom of God is a lot more like falling in love than making some kind of decision. Because Jesus says, the seeds are sown onto the ground, and the man goes to sleep and wakes up and doesn't know how it happened. It's just there. It just happened. He sort of just fell into the plant. It was there. The kingdom of God is not something that we can prepackage and organize and synthesize, but it's something that can surprise us and we fall into. It's less like making a decision and more like falling in love. And the second parable is an interesting one. Because you got to... Okay, this I will ask for a show of hands because I'm kind of interested in this one. How many of you have actually seen a mustard plant in real life? Not in a book, not in a picture, in real life. All right, very few of you have actually seen one. Now, for those who haven't, the description that Roberta read makes it sound like this is a magnificent tree. Right? That it grows into a finest tree. Well, I'm going to tell you that part of the reason Jesus told stories like this was the same reason I tell stories, is to capture your attention and to make you think. Because I guarantee you everyone in his audience would have been looking like him like, what? Because a mustard is not even a tree. It's a shrub. It's more...
Sure.
Thank you. It's just very ugly. And in the Middle East, at the time of Jesus, it wouldn't have been something somebody really planted because it was wild. It grew everywhere. And when it started and it took hold, it would just overtake a garden, because it self-promulgated all the time. When I was a kid, my mother in the backyard, we had a spot under a tree that nothing would ever grow. And so she had my dad, who enlisted the help of me, build a retaining wall to kind of raise a flower bed up underneath this tree, and she wanted to plant a few things. Well, one of the things she planted was mint. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever planted mint before, but it really grows really well, and then it won't stop. It will continue to grow until it takes over everything around it. So underneath this tree, every other plant got dissolved into a field of mint. Now, it smelled really good in the summer, especially after the rain, but there was nothing else that could grow. We finally had to rip it all out and start over again. So if you want to plant mint, put it in a pot. But it just took over everything. And then you would look over, and there would be a sidewalk and a gap, and there's some dirt. There's more mint growing. It just would pop up amazingly. That's what the kingdom of God is like, according to Jesus. If he had wanted to really compare the kingdom of God to something majestic, he would have picked the cedars of Lebanon or for our minds, the redwoods of California, these majestic trees. But instead, he was being somewhat sly and funny. And he said, the kingdom of God is magnificent in the fact that it's going to pop up everywhere. And it's going to keep growing despite what you do. And in spite of what you do and with what you do, it's going to keep going. You're not really responsible for the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is like that mustard plant or the mint. It's just going to pop up. It's going to keep coming. The kingdom of God is a mystery. And the minute we think we understand it, it's going to pop up over here and show us how we were wrong in our, or at least incomplete in our understanding of it. And then it's going to pop up over here and show us something new. Because the real purpose of the whole Gospel of Mark is to remind us that the God we think we know, the God we think we have prepackaged into a box, is really more like a mustard seed that's going to pop up where we least expect it. And I think one of the very interesting things about this particular passage, this particular parable, is how it ends. Now, in the chapter before, what we read, he talked about seeds being planted and birds coming in and stealing the seeds. In this one, he has birds that come in and they nest. They need that ugly mustard plant for shelter. And it's a place for those that are vulnerable to the heat and vulnerable to other wild animals. It gives them a place to hide and to shelter. So I think even though the kingdom of God may pop up here and there and it may change and it's never exactly as we imagine it, one of the things that Jesus reminds us is that wherever the vulnerable are being taken care of, the kingdom of God is there. That's the role of the kingdom of God, is to be that shelter in the storm for the animals and the birds and for the vulnerable people around us. The kingdom of God is nothing that we can own or completely ever understand. It's alive and changing, and like the mustard plant, it's going to pop up where we least expect it, and maybe where we don't want it, but the kingdom of God is never going to be gone. It's always going to be around, and it's always there to provide a place for those in need. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.